Avos Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Zayin 117, and here we have Shimon Beno, Shimon his son. So this Shimon is Shimon ben Gamliel, the first one, meaning that we're talking about he's the son of the previous Tana, Rabban Gamliel. So this Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel is the great-grandson of Hillel, Hazaken, right? The previous son of Rabban Gamliel was his grandson. And there are actually two Shimon ben Gamliels flowing around in the Mishnayos, so it's a little confusing. This is the first of those two, meaning he was the Nasi at the time of Churban Beis HaMikdash. He served almost 20 years, ending in around the year 70 of the Common Era, when he was one of the 10 Asuri, one of the 10 Harugi Malchus, one of the 10 martyrs that were killed by the Romans. And he was, at that point, he ended being the Nasi, of course. So he says here, Shimon ben Omer, Kol Yamai Gadalti Bein HaChachamim. All my life, I grew up amongst the Chachamim. Now, interesting, of course, is that he not only is not referred to as a Rabban in our Mishnah, but he's referring to himself as, you know, someone who's still growing up, which is fascinating. So many of us understand that this memra was said earlier on before he was named the Nasi, meaning while his father, Rabban Gamliel, was still alive, and therefore it's said without the honorific Rabban. And the rule is that the Mishnah Lo Zazim Koma, once you have established like a statement, you don't rewrite it later on because it gets confusing and hard to remember, and therefore Tate as is. So he's talking about his growing up, his years, even he already, of course, here is a Chacham in his own right, but he's looking himself as a person still growing, as we all should. And he says, Kol Yamai Gadalti Bein HaChachamim, I grew up amongst the Chacham, observing their ways and seeing, you know, the best of the best. V'lo Matzasi Laguf Tov Elishtika. He says, three things, the first of which is, I didn't find anything better for the body than silence. And the Mishnah as a whole is really talking about the virtues of the Mid of Shtika, of being silent. So part A is, he didn't find anything better for the body. Part B says, I'll read you the whole thing now, we'll go back. V'lo ha-midrash hu ha-ikr ela ma'asa, even in the context of Talmud Torah, the learning isn't the ikr, but rather the action. We'll go back to that. And finally, v'chol ha-mar b'devarim mei v'chet, and anyone who talks too much, talks excessively, brings sin. So all about excessive speech. The first part says that he didn't find anything better for the body than silence, which is remarkable. Meaning he's talking here about, you know, first and foremost, your blood pressure goes up when you get angry, when you get defensive, and that's not good for you. If you want to take care of yourself and maintain your serenity, your equanimity, so you're best off being quiet. And the Barthener learns this is specifically the context of this Mishnah, this first part here. It's talking specifically about a person who is facing humiliation or criticism. Even though face someone make, you know, accusing him of things or embarrassing him, the fellow remains quiet. And this really to his benefit for his own physical well-being even. And I think we've all experienced this. You know, once you respond, you get worked up, you get angry and anger, and even if you're right, it doesn't make a difference. You walk away from the altercation and you are unsettled. You don't feel like eating anymore. You can't sleep well. You certainly can't focus on your learning. So it's a lose-lose. You're the loser. If you just let it like flow, feel like water off a duck's back and just ignore, so then you'd maintain much more composure, much more calm. You'd feel better sooner, and you could get on with things. The Ruach Chaim, Ruach Chaim Volozhiner, points out that this is talking about silence is good for the body, but not for the soul, meaning there's actually a mitzvah, and it's proper that one learns, meaning Talmud Torah, that he should actually articulate it and loudly, and that by speaking it out, and speaking out in a proper voice helps one to learn, to remember, to understand. But for the guf, for the body, talking is not helpful. We actually, the basis of this really is from a pasuk in Mishlei. Gam evil mecharish chacham yechashev, even a fool, if he stays quiet, is considered to be wise. Otem svasav navon, and the guy who keeps his lips locked is a navon. He's a clever fellow, or maybe he's perceived as a clever fellow. So that's the pasuk in Mishlei, in Perek Yizayin, pasuk chavches. It has been popularized in the modern era in English, attributed either to Mark Twain or to Abraham Lincoln. My father used to say this all the time. He says, better to be quiet and have people suspect you of being a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt. That, of course, is being co-opted from Shlomo Melech in Mishlei. So that's how the Bartanura learns it, and many others, that it's specifically talking about people, alleging things or embarrassing or lying about you, even then to be quiet. There's an obvious kol v'chomer, which is if someone's actually making a valid point, giving you legitimate criticism, pointing out some flaw of yours, then for sure kol v'chomer, you should be quiet and actually accept that, be ohev es tochachos, and accept it, and don't fight back. Take it as something that's useful to know and grow from it. Now, the Rambam learns this Mishnah in the Parish Mishnah is much more how probably you want to learn it, how you read it on first blush, which is we're not talking specifically about someone, humiliating you, but speech in general, that just you say less and you're better off for it. And the Rambam takes the opportunity over here to enumerate the five levels of speech in his hierarchy. He says in other places as well, he says there are basically five levels. First, you have forbidden speech. So that would be, Lashon Hara and Rachilas and Shavuah Shav and Nivel Pet. These things you're not supposed to, you're lying or you're taking a false oath or you're cursing. These things are just forbidden in general. So of course, there's no place for them. Then you have level two, which is speech, which is disgusting. So that actually, the Rambam says, is basically idle chatter. You're sitting on the Shabbat table, you're talking about the food instead of about something more elevated. You're talking about who won the sporting event. So that is, in the Rambam's words, essentially disgusting, lowly, and you can do a lot more better things with your time. Then he has level three, which is permitted speech. So that's sort of necessary speech for your physical well-being, for your financial well-being, for work and the like. Okay, so you got to talk, so talk. But don't, whatever's necessary is necessary, and that's fine. Then you have a fourth level, which is what's beloved speech. That means speech that you're making people feel good, you're encouraging them. You're making bring the best out of them, encourage them to be better people and do good. So that is beloved speech. And finally, of course, there's obligatory speech, like Talmud Torah or Kriya Shema and the like, which is a mitzvah in and of itself to speak like that. So the Rambam points out these different hierarchy, and he again points out that you want to stay away from the lower levels and focus on the higher levels of that hierarchy. That's part number one. Now, there's actually a Gemara that is very memorable, Gemara in Megillah, Yud Ches Amid Aleph, which says, I'll just read it to you, it's this same idea, and it's interesting. He says, Darash Reb Yehuda Ish Kfar Guvraya V'Amrla Ish Kfar Gibor Chayil. Ma'adich said, what's the Pasuk mean? This is a Pasuk in Tehillim, when it says, L'cha Dumya Tehila, to you silence as praise, this popularized by Yishai Ribo, in his Ratzufa Hava song. So what does it mean? So says the Gemara, Sima de Koila Mashtuka. The best remedy for everything is silence, like our Tan over here says. Ki Asr Rav Dimi, and the Gemara goes on to say, when Rav Dimi came, Amar, he said, Amri Bamarava, they say in the West, meaning Eretz Israel, Mila Basela Mishtuka Betrain. Your words are worth a Sela coin, and your silence is worth two coins. So, silence is always best, unless. Not, unless you have something that is worthwhile to say. Now, the second part of the Mishnah says that even in the context of Talmud Torah, where it's a mitzvah, so here Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Lo ha-midrash hu ha-ikr. The primary thing is not about the words of learning, but rather el ha-masa, it's actually the action, the doing. The Pasuk says, Ulimaratam osam ushmartam la. So, that's a Pasuk in Devarim, that you learn the Torah, but you also have to make sure that you learn for the sake of doing. Now, the truth is that this is a machlokus that existed to discussion in the Gemara. It's a famous Gemara in Kedushin, Dav Mem Amud Beis, where they discussed what's more important, what takes priority, is it learning or doing? I'll read you the Gemara. It says, Ukvar hayar tarfin zakenim mesuin balias beis nitza belod. Reb Tarfin and the elders were sitting in this place in beis nitza belod. Nishlu she'ela zu b'fneim, and they raised a question from the Talmidim. Talmud gadol or masa gadol, which is greater, learning or doing? Nan Reb Tarfon va'amar masa gadol. So Reb Tarfon says doing is primary, ahead of learning. And Nan Reb Akiva va'amar Reb Akiva disagreed, and he said no, Talmud gadol, it's greater is learning than doing. And then Nanu kulam va'amru, and then the rest of the crowd sort of found it interesting, dovetailing the two opinions, and they said, Talmud gadol, they say, yeah, learning is the greatest. Shehat Talmud mevi lidei maisa, because learning is what brings you to doing. Which my understanding is that if you do more, you won't come to learn more, but if you learn more, you'll come to do more. The Gemara itself needs hasbar, because the truth is that it's a funny question as much as there are 613 mitzvahs, one is Talmud Torah, and that's a mitzvah to itself. But the point here of our Mishnah is that Rabbi Shimon is taking sides in this discussion, and he is saying that as important as Talmud is, or as he calls it here, as Midrash is, so the Iker, the ultimate, is Maaseh, is actually putting what one's learned into practice. Finally, the third part of the Mishnah says, V'chol amar b'davarim mevichet, whoever indulges in excessive words brings sin. So my understanding here, it's not just mine, is that we're now, like, we just finished saying how you should avoid talking excessively, but now we're into the thought of, well, if you're going to talk, at least, you know, limit it. So this is almost like in the b'di'evit stage, meaning the more you say, the worse off you are. The Chazal say, kola mosif goreya, the more you, if you add something, you actually detract from it. And I think, you know, when you sit down, like, everyone knows you sit down, like, for a deposition or whatever, an interrogation or whatever, everything you say will be held against you, and therefore the less you say, the more direct you answer the questions and limit it, the better off you are. The paradigm that Chazal bring for this is the story of Chava. Hashem said to Adam Rishon, don't eat from the tree. And then the Nachash engages Chava, and she says, oh, Hashem said, not only cannot eat from the tree, we can't even touch the tree. And because of that, those extra words, that led her into sin, because she was tricked, because of course it wasn't about touching the tree that would cause her to die, but just eating from it. So therefore, some portion focus on the importance of this very point, keeping clear what's a d'oraisa, what's a d'rabbanan, understanding, you know. But in general, the point is, the more you say, the more likely you are to start getting worked up, saying things you shouldn't say, feeling bad about yourself and others, talking lashon hara and the like, and therefore try to nip it in the bud and don't talk excessively if you can. Rabbeinu Yonah also adds this, that since the previous part of the Mishnah was talking about Talmud Torah, he understands this part is talking about Talmud Torah as well, and he says, based on a Gemara in Chulin, Samach Gimel, that l'ol mishana adam l'talmidav derech ktsara, a person should always teach his students derech ktsara, with concision, you know, with as few words and as clear as possible. That's for the sake of the student's understanding. So the point is here that when you say more, it could be your mosif, your gorei, you say more, you're actually saying less because you're adding to confusion instead of being, you know, weighing every word and making it sort of clear the first time, so there's no misunderstandings, and therefore the transmission of the Torah and the understanding of what you're saying is perfectly clear.